World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning here, April 10th, 2020. Lord's not making another one. Not one like this one. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I really and truly want to have a flea flicker Friday this morning. I'm sitting in the pre-show, and we're sitting here in the queue. It's so hard to get away from it, isn't it? It's just so hard to get away from the whole coronavirus. And all. It's just how hard, it's everywhere. It impacts everywhere. And there's so much information and so much disinformation and so much, just a lot of it going on. I'm going to throw some stuff out on the table today. We'll dig at it. We'll go at it good and hard. I was told my wife we were sitting up there. Those of you been in my house know we have a little gas fire. It's kind of chilly here this morning. They're getting foots of snow up in Maine today, I guess. Amazing. And just sitting there kind of, Michelle's in a little rocking chair and I'm sitting on the couch and just kind of having a discussion. And I said, you know what, honey, here's the real problem. The real problem we have in America, we really don't have any leadership. I want you to just ponder on that one thought right there. We have political leadership, most of which we can't trust, don't trust. Political leadership. But outside of political leadership, governmental leadership, we really don't have very little leadership. I remember that old saying, ain't somebody gonna do something, ain't about time somebody done something. I sense that's the spirit of America today. Isn't it about time somebody done something? And I get up every morning, and I, like you guys do, I search out the information. I have not turned on the TV in months. I couldn't tell you what Fox News is saying and CNN. I couldn't tell you. Just couldn't tell you. No sports out there. I don't know what people who are sportaholics, I don't know what they're doing today. No sports. There's no basically no entertainment. The reconnection with the families and all that stuff, all that's good. But I was going to put a meme up today because I like to put memes on Facebook to make people think. And I didn't do it because I just knew what I was opening myself up to. And I thought, Lord, is this meme worth it? And the meme I was going to put up is this. Have you seen all the obituaries? Where are all the funerals? I didn't want to say that because some people really have lost loved ones. They really have. But you would think that with everything that's going on, the bodies would be, there'd be bodies out on the sidewalk. They'd have so many of them. And it's not true. It's not so. And every one of us know hospital workers who are laid off. Our son's fiance. She works as a med tech, whatever they call it. She's in the emergency room, not emergency room, but operating room tech. She's laid off. The medical hospitals are going broke because they don't have any patients. They don't have any patients because they have some, but they don't have any patients because they're saving all the time and space and for all the sick people who were supposed to come in, they're not coming in. You get on Facebook and you make a post and everybody agrees with you, yet nothing ever changed. How many more days are we going to allow them to keep us locked up?
Hey.
Yeah. Was that an amen?
There's a sign that it has the ER times on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes. 3 minutes all the time. 3 minutes. There's no wait. I've wondered about that myself.
Yeah.
There's all these people. Why is it 3 minutes wait?
Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? And here's what, folks, are we moving into a perpetual semi-lockdown position in our world? Is that where we're heading? You see what you mean, Coach? Well, is it just me? Or did anybody happen to see yesterday a report that, wouldn't you know it, the virus is making a second round through Wuhan? Oh, it's coming back again. And how hard will it be for these bureaucrats, these guys who've been in government, this Fauci who's been in government since Ronald Reagan, to spring this on us again? 3 months? 2 months? And here on Good Friday, want to continue to live our lives in a condition of perpetual fear of death? Is that really where we are? Is that really living? And when I started out, I said there isn't any leadership, because who do you turn to? Can you turn to your local sheriff, your local mayor? Isn't there somebody with some power and some cojones that will stand up and say, this is enough of this? And what's really being exposed to us, again, this Flea Flicker Friday, what's really being exposed to us, and again, it comes back to, I seem to live here. What's being revealed to us is the ineffectiveness of our churches. Not right now, but in preparation. Our churches, I've said it for years, and anybody who's gone to when we go to, whenever we go to Panama City or go different places or go down with Jim Craft or with Mark or whoever would go down there with us, I'd always point out the same thing. Says, you know, it's crazy. The church is closed down. We'd be down in the middle of, I was down in Hurricane Katrina when I first went down there, and I was amazed the churches were closed. And then when we went back down with Dale Social, when they had that flood down there in Louisiana, we set up down there, and it was amazing. We were feeding people because the churches were closed. And I would look around and think, man, these folks, they're no more prepared for a disaster than just the average guy living in his apartment. A hurricane hits and the church disappears. No, listen, the people want to help probably, but they're not organized. They're not prepared. They're not expecting it. And one of the points I made yesterday is, are we prepared for 4 weeks down the road? 4 weeks down the road? What's it going to be in 4 weeks if we continue on with this foolishness? The food chain, the food supply is already probably messed up. Businesses are never coming back. I saw today, I think it said one out of every seven, was it? One, whatever number, pretty high. One out of every 10, one out of every seven Americans is unemployed. I thought, well, that's good. Still 90% of them are. I guess that's a lot of people still working. And the absolute foolishness of who can work and who can't work and who can go outside and play and who can't go outside and play and what's essential, what's non-essential. And to come to the realization, as I go back to the scriptures here, who's in control? And I find it particularly appropriate, I guess, this morning, as I was walking down the steps here on Good Friday, and I was thinking about Christ and his crucifixion. Can you imagine watching that thing, what that must have been like? And I got something on that today. If I get around to it, we'll get to it. But I want to ask yourself this. Military guys, there's some military guys that are listening right now. Isn't that funny? Because you used to be able to say that. How many vets are out there? It used to be every hand went up because everybody was part of it. Not so much anymore. But I know guys who went to Vietnam and Gulf War, who actually saw war, saw people die, saw bodies blown up, saw those improvised devices go off and blow people up and blow off their legs and come home with post-traumatic stress disorder and wake up in the middle of the night and see the having dreams of what they'd seen. And I don't know how you'd ever get that stuff out of your mind. I don't know how you'd ever get it out of your mind. I don't know how you ever would. And then asking ourselves when we get back home, Vietnam guys I'm talking about, Gulf War guys who watched their buddies die, what would it be like to come home and see your government hoist its leg and pee on everything that your buddies had done? Every sacrifice that they made. Look around to see that these bureaucrats, most of them non-elected officials, making rules and regulations controlling your lives when you just walked out of the field of death. You just walked out of bodies, your buddies being blown to bits, and to come home and here we are hiding from a virus. That way your buddies. Coach, yeah.
As a Vietnam vet who's seen the dead people and the legs blown off, et cetera, let me look at that scenario you just pictured just a little differently. I am actually, inside, I am really, really glad to see our economy tanking the way it is, because I realize, at least in my way of thinking, it's going to take the death of our current system before we can replace it with something that makes any sense. I do not want to see our current system stay alive on life support through this thing and then come back and rear its ugly head again. That's the worst thing that can happen through this experience, in my opinion.
I would agree with you. Let me finish my thought. So you think about those. I didn't lose a child in Vietnam. If I'd lost a child, I didn't lose a friend in Vietnam. Larry did. Others did. But if I'd lost somebody who was really, really dear to me, who made what we call the ultimate sacrifice, I would have a tendency to look and say, what did they do with that sacrifice? What did they do with it? And I think it's appropriate here on Good Friday that we think about the same thing, that the physical mutilation, whipping and beating of a man they put on a cross. And Christian tradition will teach us that he was crucified, he died, and he was buried. Whether it was on Sunday, whether it was on Friday, whether it was on whatever, it happened. And then he rose again from the dead. And when he rose again from the dead, he said to all of us, "All power is given unto me. Go ye." He said, "I endured that. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil." He could look over his shoulder and point and said, "Look, boys, I just walked through hell. I walked through physical hell. I walked through emotional hell. I walked through betrayal hell. I walked through every kind of hell beyond what you can ever imagine. I just walked through it. And here I stand, boys. I'm on the other side of it. And I've won victory of death, hell, keys to the grave. I won victory over all of that. And now here's what I'm going to do. I'm leaving. Because it's important that I leave," he told him. "Because if I don't leave, the Comforter can't come. And because I'm going to go away, even though I took all that beating and everything, I'm not going to go off and I'm not going on vacation. I'm not going to go just sit in a chair. I'm going away, but I'm going to send another one who not only can't be with you, but will be in you." Jesus said, if I hang around here, you guys will be dependent on me, and I can't be everywhere. I'm going to be one place. Because I'm going to send that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit he's going to be in each and every one of you. And he's going to be in each and every one of you because you're going to be able to do everything I've been doing, except you're going to do even greater things. It's going to be amazing to watch. He said, "So as I look on I'm on the other side of this thing. I walk through that hell. I'm on the other side of it. We win. Here's the keys. I'm going. I'm sending you a helper. Let's go, baby." And then I think about the message of Good Friday. That's not the message we have of Good Friday, is it? Come on now. in church. That's not the message we have of Good Friday. We don't have the message of Good Friday that it was the ultimate tag team handoff. He did his part, and he passed the baton to us. He said, now you go. I'm going to put that Holy Spirit in you, and now you go. And I'll be with you always. Even into the end. He told Joshua, don't be afraid. This before, right? Before incarnation of Christ. He said, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Be strong. Be very courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. The Lord thy God's with you wherever you go. Go, boys. Go. Go. And how do we get to the point in America where we who have been born again of the Spirit of God, who've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless, we live, but not us, Christ now lives. We're not even living our own lives anymore. Why are we American Christians so desperate to save our lives? That's the hurdle. That's the hurdle here on Good Friday. Not what he did, but what he handed to us. And what have we done with it? As I sit here today, what have I done with it? I was happy to see that here in Columbus, Ohio, they had a rally yesterday at our state house. Open, pardon my French, open the damn economy. Open up the world, will you? Will you open it back up? We can't. Why? Because somebody's locking us up in a prison of fear. Of death. And the message of that fear of death is, dude, you're going to die anyway. And you may avoid it right now in 2020, but there's a day coming. It may be 2022. It may be 2028, but it's coming. And you better get your heart right, and you better get prepared. Instead, we see Christians again so huddling away from the real events of what's going on, and what? In preservation of our own lives. As if that is the most noble thing we can do. Hide inside our house so somebody else doesn't get sick. Well, I can hide in my house all I want to. And some people are still going to get sick, and some healthy people are still going to die. Death is a part of life. Christ gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. We have victory over. He handed us the keys. He says, now it's your turn, boys. Go. And we don't. We don't even know what it looks like. We have this thing in America called the church, the body of Christ, whatever you'd want to call it. And how many of you, when trouble hits, tell everybody, call the governor. Call your elected official. Why wouldn't the natural response be, call the pastor. Pick up the phone and call the pastor. Say, pastor, pardon me. What are we going to do about this, pastor? What are we going to do about this? What's our church going to do about this? Well, brother, we're going to have a drive-through service. Brother, we're going to have a Facebook get-together. Folks, that's more than that, isn't it? That's my rant.
Yeah, Coach, the church really needs to wake up. Yesterday, normally I've been going through an Ephesians study, but yesterday morning the Lord sort of said, why don't you read through the devotional? And I was over here at Jeff's house, so I thought, well, I got to get up and get out there before he does. And I grabbed a devotional because they didn't have one with me. I got to JC's Auto at 2 minutes till nine, and I was going to set up my phone to do the shut live Facebook show. And lo and behold, this song started playing, this lullaby song. I thought, where is this song coming from? I couldn't stop it. I couldn't shut it down. After about 42 seconds into the program, a big train came blaring, hollering, going on. My door went off as if it was open, beeping. I couldn't shut that thing off. And it was, God says, we're going to have a good lesson here about showing people the church is asleep and the judgment's coming. And we need to get on with the program. Now, I read the April 9th devotion, which basically said Satan's been defeated 2,000 years ago. We need to rise up in power, become visible and verbal. But anyway, I was going to say, if you want to play that, like Alan said, it's like a 2-minute video. It's pretty humorous. Alan sent you the link. It's only about less than 2 minutes. It's Alan, pretty good.
Well, okay, I'll be glad to play it. I don't know where I have it. Listen, guys, I'm not making you 50 videos a day. I do my best to get to them. Under Alan, let me see here.
Alan thought that he said, "Man, Roberts, you got this Facebook Live down cold. Pat, you got that lullaby song going." And I thought, man, that was none of my stuff. It was God bringing that that song and that train alongside. It was crazy.
I'm trying to find it. Where, somebody have it? Can send it to Garrett or send it to me? I'll get it up. I'll get it up there. You don't have it anywhere, Robert?
No, I think Alan's got it. Okay. Well, I've got it on my Facebook, but if you go on my Facebook, you'll see it. Yesterday.
I'll put it in the chat, Coach. Alan, I'll just put it in the chat.
Alan, just put it in the chat, Jared. See if you can pull it up there. Anybody else? Come on in. Randy, go.
Confirm that is the most amazing thing, Robert. I watched that. Alan sent it to me. I watched it and I could not believe it. I thought, how could you stage something? That's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. And he said he didn't stage it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, if he didn't, the Holy Spirit did, because that is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. It was awesome to see that. That's the Holy Spirit confirming to us a witness. That is a witness. If we can't see that, we're blind. That is so.
We got it up on the screen now. So Robert, do you want to set the stage for it again? You're pulling up to Jeff lines up JC's auto, and you're getting out of your car. You got your camera running. And by the way, JC's auto, Jeff's got a train track that runs behind him. Not a real active one, but there's one there, and it sits on a corner in a town like you would imagine. So it got a car lot with a street in front of it, a busy street in front of it, and a train track in the back, but hardly ever any trains go over it, really. I mean, I'm sure they do, but not. You don't get trains there. There ain't a bunch of trains going through town. Go ahead and play it.
Well, I think I'm here. I'm working out on my phone, working off my phone next to JC's auto. Going to have a good 40 minutes or so. We're going to discuss the devotional today. I keep hearing something. What is this? It's a song. Everybody can hear me? Anyway, we're going to read the devotional for today. Okay, I'm back on here. We've got a crazy song playing. Hopefully you won't hear that over my little reading of the devotional. I really can't see who's in the queue, but hopefully you're here. It says I'm live, and I'm working out of my car this morning before JC's auto.
Where was the music coming from?
I have no idea. That's the first time I've had a song on my phone I couldn't shut off. I have no idea where that came from. It played through the whole 42 minutes of my devotional.
Coach, I couldn't stop laughing church for over an hour yesterday, man. It was crazy. I about fell out of my chair when I heard that.
That was a Holy Ghost setup if there ever was. I'm sorry I missed that one, man. That was unbelievable, huh? But it's true, though, isn't it? Isn't that true? And all we want, see, we don't care that the train's rolling through town. We just want it to be quiet. That's all. As long as the train's not running over our house, God, get out of here. I'm trying to do a show. That's what most pastors are doing, isn't it? God, stop all that noise. I'm trying to do a sermon here. I'm trying to preach here. What do we do? What do we do? Somebody, it's open. Doors open. Yesterday I started inviting people in. Somebody got something to say?
Well, I sent you a little message last night, Coach. Just what's going down in the neck of our woods.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
and it's crazy. I mean, because once again, I've put that format out there that our governor is a Democrat, and our governor ordered for non-essentials to be closed surgery centers, which included the abortion clinics. They closed down. And the following week, the one up in Shreveport opened up. And then last week, Baton Rouge opened up. And yesterday, the New Orleans clinic opened up. Well, brother, we got on the phone. We started calling. Well, dude, they literally sent out a special team into the Shreveport clinic and already has closed that down. They're about to move their way into Baton Rouge and into New Orleans. This is the order of the governor. The governor's literally going in there and physically shutting down the abortion clinics.
So the clinics shut them down, they ignored it and reopened. That's what happened, right, Dale?
Yeah, well, they closed and then they reopened.
Yeah.
And then he sent in a task force and has already shut down, I think, two of them yesterday. And then he's coming into New Orleans today. We had a great response from his committee. I mean, he says he's pro-life, but when people hear that he's a Democrat, they go, dude, he acts more pro-life and more Christian than most of the pastors, because most of the pastors, they're wanting to preach that lullaby and the train's coming.
Well, you know, Dale, I thought it was interesting. Somebody sent me an email during the whole Rodney Howard Brown thing, and it was so profound. So sometimes just the simplest of thoughts, you know, and somebody said, Planned Parenthood sues to stay open. You know of any churches that have? Well, that was a mic drop. Anybody know of any churches that sued to stay open? Maybe they have now. Why? See, injustice. The Lord hates injustice. He hates it. Why don't we? In other words, if the government says Planned Parenthood could stay open, we ought to be the first ones in court, because that is injustice. That is selective enforcement of the law, right? And without the church being the one to rise up and push back against the forces of darkness known as government, folks, who will reel in unrighteous government if the church doesn't do it? Who will do it? Anybody have any suggestions? Who is that going to be that is going to push back against the forces of darkness and an unequal justice system? Who's going to push back if the church doesn't do it? Somebody have an answer for me on that one?
No, but I will add this to it, Coach. The abortion clinics remain open because they think they're essential. And the church remains closed because it has deemed itself non-essential.
Boy, oh boy, huh?
Wow. Wow. Why in the world? Good day.
Hey, Coach, did you see on Tuesday where Rodney said that if he opened back up, his insurance company was gonna terminate his policy?
No, I didn't see that.
It's crazy, Coach. I mean, this is just an outright attack on Rodney Howard Brown, totally.
Well, it's because why? Dare he be a Christian who stood up and they got to squash that one? And I bet you if you called him right now, I bet he would tell you that most of the people complaining, as many people complaining, are Christians. that he's not setting a good example, that he's not protecting his neighbor, not loving his neighbor, and not, you know, not following good protocol. I mean, I can just hear it. I just hear it. And so the same people exempt themselves from the Ten Commandments. They don't care. I mean, that's what I did. That's how kind of, you get what I'm saying, right?
Dare tell you.
Go ahead.
The reason why the church used to be so deemed essential, things like when the bubonic plague happened, it was the Quakers who went in there and they didn't care. They took care of people. They made their stance. You go back to Katrina. Where were most of the people getting their food from? From the government. MREs, Coach. The church was closed down. We have been doing this for years now. And so the government looks at us and that's exactly what they see. You guys ain't nothing but what Larry says about your satanic social clubs. That's all. That's why the church has been deemed inessential, because it's been a social club.
Well, as you said, they've deemed themselves inessential. We have. I remember about 20 years ago, maybe not quite that long ago, I went to see, went to Washington, D.C. with a group of us, and we went in to see a guy by the name of Congressman James Traficant. I don't know if you guys remember him or not. He was a rebel. He was a Union Democrat out of Youngstown that didn't take any crap. Ended up throwing him in jail. I don't know if you remember that whole story. Anyway, I remember walking into his office. I'll never forget it. And he comes out to the door, out his door, and he meets us. And he says, "Well, look here. What can I do for you fine little Christians?" I should have smacked him in the mouth. But I knew then that was the attitude of most of those guys. We were just fine little Amish Christians. And we came to beg our masters, "Can we have some porridge, please?" Never left me. That there is no fear of God in our elected officials, because there's no fear of God within those of us who go visit them. We don't go visit our elected officials and say, "Hey, dude, thus saith the Lord. If this continues on, dude, there will be hell to pay from God's people." We don't approach that, do we? We don't approach that. What do you suppose the union guys are saying when they go in and meet with them? When I go in and I sit down and I talk to my congressman and I even pray with him at the end, I pray with my congressman. He's glad that coach, boy, he's a nice guy. He's good to have on the side. And then the next guy in is some union jack who works for the steel union workers. And he gets in there and he lays the law down on that congressman. Which guy do you suppose he's thinking about when he goes to sleep at night? Me or the union guy? Because, see, we don't understand authority and power. All power, all authority has been given unto us. And we won't pick it up and run with it.
Well, Coach, we're going to the Capitol next Friday. Pastor Bill Dunphy from New Beginnings, myself, maybe Phil Parr and a bunch of others with our megaphones. And we're going to demonstrate that they're abusing power and authority. And we have it as a church. So if anyone else wants to go week from today, get in touch with Pastor Dunphy or myself.
Well, let's turn into something. Really, when it gets right down to it, folks, really, do you guys know anything about the people who have locked down your life? Do you know anything about them? Here in Ohio, does anybody know anything about Amy Acton, who now is, dare we say it, Queen of Ohio? Does anybody know anything? Say, who's she? She's a director of health, unelected position, of course, unelected position, appointed. Bureaucrat. Oh, she's so sweet, though. Yeah, she is sweet. And your kids aren't going to have any food here. Keep it up very much longer. Does anybody know anything about this Burks? This Burks standing up there beside Trump? This lady? And then this Fauci? I didn't elect him. Anybody elect Fauci? Hey! Anybody elect Fauci? You guys, you elect him? Anybody elect that Amy Burks? Where's your senator? Where's your pastor? See, we have totally yielded all authority. All authority the church has yielded. We don't even know where to turn. We don't even know where to turn. And I can tell you this, I don't know this to be true. If I went to pick out a couple pastors' names. If I went to so-and-so pastors, said, listen, I'm going to give you $1,000. I'm going to give you, what is today? Today's Friday. I'm going to give you till next Monday. Monday, we're going to have an office. We're going to have a meeting Monday. And I'm going to give you $1,000. Tell this one pastor who's organizing it. I'm going to give you $1,000 for every pastor you get to the meeting on Monday. But you can't tell them that I'm going to do that. How many pastors would a guy be able to get? How many pastors would a pastor be able to get to come join you? Anybody want to give me a number on that one?
There is a no number. Lots of them.
No, I'm saying it wrong. They don't know they're getting the money. I'm giving you the money.
Oh, forget about it.
I'm giving you the money for every guy that comes. I'm giving you $1,000.
Forget about it.
They ain't coming, are they, Dale? Now, why? See, that's why the government's in control. Because those of us who are supposed to be wielding the power and authority, as we've spoken about earlier, there's a difference between power and authority. They are not the same thing. Right now, the federal government, or we see the guy who was arrested for playing T-ball with his daughter. We saw the guy who was arrested for being out on a surfboard out in the ocean. We see guys who are being arrested. Bobby Lee, we saw his video where Bobby Lee couldn't go primitive camping and who couldn't go primitive camping in a state park. And the cops or whatever, the authorities come, and what do they say? Sorry, you can't do that. We're going to arrest you for doing that. Now, see, they have the power to do that. They don't have the authority to do that. And we let those who don't have the authority wield the power. I don't know how we write this ship. That's our issue. Anthony Fauci, he ain't got no power nor authority. He doesn't have either one. Doesn't have either one. But we yield it to him. I'm going in circles here. Somebody come
here. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you just said, I don't know how we right this ship. What a mic drop moment. You know, here in hurricane land, where hurricanes are a possibility every year, and they happen every now and then, we understand that when a hurricane comes through, there is a certain amount of damage that you look at in the aftermath of the hurricane, and you either rebuild or you tear down and rebuild. You either repair or you tear down and rebuild. Man, I'm staying at home to stay alive, not because I'm cowering or afraid to die, but I'm excited about the opportunity to rebuild.
But Larry, how are we going to do that? We don't even know other Christians.
And it all starts with formats like yours right here that's been going on for 4+ years. How are we going to rebuild? That's what I am desperately trying to get on track now. I don't have the answers. I got some things that I think will help going back into the other side and starting things a new way. I think there's a better way to do our monetary system, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't have enough authority or gravitas or whatever word you want to put on it to push things that way. But by golly, if people will band together, if 3, 4, 5 in a community will band together, when this thing is over, let's use those existing buildings calling themselves schools. Let's use it for emergency housing and keep the kids at home to be educated. Ideas like that. That's the small things that we can start working on now and have in place when we come out the other side. But it's just like every other project I've seen over the last 4.5 years, for the most part, I'm saying there's exceptions because this group here listening right now, most of these people listening right now are part of the exceptions. But most places, like you've been saying, nothing gets done. Nothing happens. And it's because, like you said, for 4.5 years, everybody's looking for somebody else to do the heavy lifting. But this is an opportunity for the average person to band together with other average people, so when we come out the other side of this mess, that we can do things better than the way of that. I hope and pray that we will never return to the way things were before COVID-19. Because if you're happy with all that sin and all that goofiness and all that that was evil running the world before COVID-19 hit, then you're welcome to go back to it. But don't drag me back.
Okay.
Hey, Coach, can I give you another example of what you just asked about?
Yes.
Okay. We met with Governor LePage, Maine, 6 different times. We had great meetings with him, but at every meeting, one of the things that he said was, how many are you? And how many are you? And he was listening, and he was taking notes, and he got accused of that in the paper. But if I had been able to say, well, it's us, and we are supported, we are endorsed, we are in conjunction with the Maine Christian Civic League, he would have sat up right straight in his chair, let me tell you, and things would have changed. But it was just us four old white guys, and nobody had to pay any attention. Even though he knew we had the truth, even though we knew the Constitution for Maine better than anybody in the state house, he didn't have to do anything because he had no support from the church.
He wasn't going to fight your fight for you, Jack.
That's right. He would have fought with us, but not without us.
I come across that a lot. Listen, folks, think this. I want you to think this now. We're on the verge of politics being dead in America. And I'm going to tell you, it's not good. What do you hear about the elections? Do you hear anything about elections? And by the way, didn't we just go through primary seasons and no elections were held? Despite what the Constitution said. And as we continue to crank down on this COVID virus, now we're going to go to mail-in ballots. So we, again, I don't want to be a doomsayer in a lot of different areas and a lot of different issues. We are at the make happen moment, right? It's the make happen moment now. We're making that because it won't take very long for those same guys who convinced us to lock ourselves in our homes. Those same guys will come up with an election process where you don't even have to go register anymore. You can just do it over the phone. You can just hit on your cell phone and vote, and then they'll count the votes for you. We're close there, friends. We're close. It's because we don't understand, as the point I've made many times, we don't understand the depth of evil. We don't understand it. And you do know this, don't you? We're being ruled by government hacks, unelected hacks. We don't even know who these people are. How the hell, pardon me, did Bill Gates get to be a decision maker? Because he has money? Money makes you a decision maker now? Bill Gates? Well, Trump had a lot of money. And he won his way to the presidency, and they still won't listen to him. Trump would have had more impact staying on the outside, just griping and moaning, starting his own little non-governmental organization. He'd have been better off doing that, which, by the way, he almost has. So that's almost what he's doing. But where are we in this mess? Now, listen, this Good Friday, it's Resurrection Friday. Where are we? Where are we? Where do we go? So it's the same. So the same kind of thing I spoke about yesterday. I'm going to wake up. Today's Friday, and tomorrow will be Saturday, and then around here it'll be Sunday. And yeah, I'm going to do a. You guys want me to do a service on Sunday? You want to do one? Yes, no, that doesn't matter. I'm going to do one.
Yes,
I enjoy it.
I'm going to do one. I'll do a service on Sunday.
Yes, please.
Okay. I got the big stop. Good. I got you. Okay. And then the next day, it's going to be tomorrow will be Sunday, and then it'll be Monday. And we'll be back here. We'll be talking about it again. And we'll be a week closer to government strangling us. You guys know I'm telling you the truth because you guys are awake. And in that aspect, I'm singing to the choir. We are the choir. We're the ones. We're the ones that on this Good Friday morning, that Jesus said, I went and did all that stuff, boys. There you go. There's the keys. He doesn't say that to us till Sunday, supposedly, or whatever day you want it actually happened. But he said, hey, I did it all. I paid the price. There, it's keys. They're occupied.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
You know, sing a little louder means, right?
Yep. Well, that's what we do. Sing a little louder.
So okay. We've learned a lot.
We've learned a whole lot. We've learned a whole lot to take and talk to a pastor. Okay, you gave us a good question. What are we going to do about this? You know, what other compelling? Because I think maybe pastors, the ones that are on the fringe and know that maybe they need to do something as a church. What would break them over? What is the most compelling arguments that you think we could bring to them? Whoa. Questions. Because you've only got a short window, right? You got one quick conversation.
We're late for one thing, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think I could have that conversation with a couple of pastors.
Well, I guess my question, Mark, would be, what are people doing now?
Right.
What has been done and what is being done in order to know what we need to do? Dave, Chad, just following. Go ahead.
I know this, Chad. I just know in my knower that if the church rose up now and demanded this foolishness stop, it would stop. But we have no
All right.
organization.
If you start with the federal order, churches were not on the essential or the you must lock down list. They weren't on either list. And that squarely puts it in the decision of the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They have that authority given to them by that federal document. But right. they close anyway. See, I'm thinking if you just pose it, what authority do you have that you're not wielding? Well, that's the 10 people, you know, at a time assembling. Or more, if they would be edgy. But they have the authority to do that and don't. You know, Joe's church does it outside. Outside, you know, you could separate enough outside, put speakers up, and have church. You could do that in a Walmart parking lot where you're allowed to assemble.
See, my question
I don't know.
Sorry, Mark.
Yeah.
See, my question is, why 10 people? So if 11 people show up, we're more at risk to getting anything than we were a moment ago when we only had 10. See, that's a made-up number.
Sure it is.
They just 10. Because, see, if there was a Virginia gun rally this weekend, no one would show up. See, this is what the objective is. It's no assembly. And what does it say? What does the Bible
Amen.
Say? Assemble yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It says it. It doesn't say.
Never forsake it.
Virus. Is that unless there's a virus? Hebrews, come on, man.
Hebrews
10:24,
Jared. Hebrews 10:24.
So this is a toothless tiger.
Coach, the problem is with these mainline denominations, headquarters is dictating to the pastors on the ground, stay shut.
Social distancing rules recommended by the government of Finland is anybody outside your household gathering with them. That's the limit. They didn't put a number limit. Just as, you know, you can be around the people in your own household. But if somebody outside of your household is there.
Okay, the American limit's 10, Larry. The American limit is 10.
Well, some governors have 5. Some governors have changed that limit because the American thing is a recommendation. It's not a law.
Listen, these are all recommendations being made by people in the closet, the men behind the curtain. We don't even know who they are. Who the hell came up with the number 10? Who came up with it? Who decided that would be the number? And who decided 6 feet? And you do know this, don't you? That you could stand in line at Lowe's to get in like I did the other day. And when I go in and then I push open the door, I put my hand right where some guy had already put his hand, where maybe 1,000 people had already put their hands. This is so foolish. This is foolishness. This is conditioning. We're smarter than this, folks. This is not being done by the Holy Spirit. I promise you what's going on in America is not the work of the Holy Spirit, unless it's the judgment of the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit can use this, certainly. But this isn't the plan of the Holy Spirit.
So what do we do?
This is how judgment falls. There's only one way you can do it. You have to, at some point, say no. How did you get over personal sin? At some point, you just had to say no.
You have to resist, Coach. This is what it says in Hebrews. Right. It says you have not yet even shed blood unto resisting them to sin. So let's not forget the two churches. So we hear the drive through and that, you know, I'm doing that because I got people in my church. I actually had the coronavirus and they want to come sit in their car on Sunday. Outside of that, I'm holding my services inside the building. We're doing the separation, but two churches in the same little community in Mississippi, when the people showed up, they all got cited sitting in their cars in a church parking lot. Here it is. Draw the line, because I got belittled about this. Well, you could just do drive-through church services, blah, 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 blah. Well, now we see that line. So they draw the line, and the government, big brother government, has crossed that and said, no, you can't do that. So now I get somebody who, good friend, well, you should just do the social network church. Well, what happens when they begin to now monitor your service and they go, oh, we don't like that, and shut your church down via the internet? Then what? Then what is your excuse then? It's you have to resist, stand firm, stand strong, resist, do right, and face the consequences.
Folks, most people you're around can't even think like this. They can't even think like it. They have the inability to think. Where will this lead? They can't think that way. They can't. I'm telling you, they can't think it. They can't see that the government. You understand that the First Amendment of the Constitution, your God-given right to freedom of assembly, can't be canceled by some local health department hack.
Okay? Or, Coach, let's even take it one step further. The Constitution of the United States answers truly to one thing alone, biblical law. Outside of that, the Constitution is above the president, above the legislation, and above the Supreme Court justice. There's nothing in there. Now, listen, it does not protect the private sector business, but it does protect the church. It does protect the church. We are supposed to be the essential. We are supposed to be the one out there. But we have done the unessential.
Well, one thing I think too, that I think Trump does want to open the country up, but he's being held hostage, because if they allow this thing to open back up, then these deep state people that are allegedly getting pushed out, I'm not saying all this is true, I'm just saying it's a theory, that they're getting pushed out, then they'll release something worse.
Oh yeah.
And they'll say, see, you shouldn't have caught open that. You can just hear it now.
Yes.
And that's what every mayor, every city councilman, every governor is afraid of. They're afraid of having the finger pointed at them, said, you said it was safe to come back. And that's why nobody's doing it. But it reminds me of that story. It reminds me of that story of the lions, the Christians in the Colosseum. Okay. And they were doing it for sport. That thing was filled to capacity. And every weekend or whatever, they'd be in there and they'd bring the Christians in and they'd release the lions and the lions would kill them all. And one time a guy got in there and he says, this ends today. No more of this will happen. And he was then killed by a lion. But he was the last guy to get killed by it. So he took a stand. And it might cost you your life.
Coach, shouldn't this whole thing be able to, that church and state, shouldn't that be totally just eradicated by this whole ordeal? I haven't heard anybody that's got a platform that shut that down at all.
Can I tell you, Lord? See, here's part of the problem, in my opinion. The prophetic men in America, I could run off a list of 10 of them. They're not standing in pulpits. They're not standing in pulpits. The church, just like in Jesus' day, the church has rejected the prophets. I think of the voice of Flip Benham, Cal Zastro, Rusty Thomas, Mark Harrington. Those voices that have been saying for years, wake up, church. Who, by the way, those guys couldn't even get invited into a pulpit on Sunday for 20 years. Can't get to the people because of the gatekeepers who are protecting the people from whatever. And to see that at some point, I've told my friends over and over and over, hey, listen, they're going to be coming to us. Because at some point, this whole thing's coming apart, and they're going to look around. They're going to see how empty there were no calories in the food that their pastor was feeding them. There's no calories in it. And at some point, when things are going to get bad, they're going to need some meat. I'm going to tell you, boys, we're almost to the point where those guys are ready for some meat.
Dave.
Yeah. Don't you think we're overestimating our importance as a Christian nation, as a church? I think we have power. We do not have power in the structure as it is set up. There is absolutely no respect from the political elected officials at right. all towards the church. They don't they don't have any fear of the church. Why would they listen to the church?
Well, Roger, you know this, as an attorney, if I go into a case and my argument that I make, my right to be able to pray with our football team, is I make my right as my right to be able to pray, well, they write it off as religious. Well, that's your own personal religion. So even though we have the authority, God's given us the authority, we've yielded the power. You mean I have to go bow to government to get my government right? I have to get them to approve my government or my God-given right? The government has to approve it? That's where we lost it. Church yep. believes that, right? The church believes church has got to be a 501c3. The church has to be approved by the government. We've yielded that authority.
Coach, can I say something?
We have authority.
Yeah, go, Randy.
I've been saying this for 2 or 3 years, and this is, I'll keep saying it until people hear it and see it.
We have authority.
Go ahead, Randy.
Okay. God is forcing
exactly.
the true church.
Because we don't read the preamble. We don't even read the preamble. We don't know who's got the power.
Oh, Jack, why? Jack, hang on, man. Jack, we got two conversations going here. Go ahead, Randy.
This is the prophetic word for this nation. God is forcing the true church to find a new identity. It's the church. But it's not the building. It's not the organization. It's not, that is not the assembly. Now, how this is going to look, I don't know, Coach, but it's going away. We have to get this in our head. That system is going out. And you're right on. If you don't hear this prophetic word, we're going to hold on to this dead system and keep beating a dead horse that's producing nothing. God is doing a new thing. And if we can't get on board with that, we're going to be left behind. This is the prophetic word. Amos 3:7, God says, I don't do anything unless I reveal it to my prophets. That hasn't changed since Christ. It still is. We have the fivefold ministry. If we're going to throw out the prophets, the apostle, we better throw out the pastors and all of them too. We have to hear the prophetic word or we're going to miss God on this thing.
And the prophetic word.
The only way.
Go ahead, Raj.
No, I was going to say, Randy, the only way I would disagree with you is if people were raised from the dead by Jesus himself. It is not changing. Here's what's going on in the churches. The pastor is calling their insurance company and saying, well, I want to have church, but if somebody gets sick, will I get sued? Will you cover me? And then the insurance people will say, well, no, you better not have church right now. If somebody gets sick, those damn lawyers are going to come after you. That's what's going on now.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey, Coach.
And as Randy says, until that, the only thing I think that changes that is miracles. Revival and miracles, undisputed miracles of God. Then maybe there's a change.
Coach, read Acts 4:16, Coach. Acts 4:16.
I don't have time. You read it. I don't have time to bring it up and everything.
All right, I'll read it, Coach. It said, Acts 4:16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. It's exactly what Roger's saying. It's time for the church to do the greater things that Jesus said we would be able to do through the Holy Ghost.
So here's a simple question we're going to have to all answer, and I'm going to leave you with this here on Good Friday. Great discussion, by the way. This is not easy for me to say, and it's not going to be easy for you to receive. But we're going to have to decide, is the government our friend or our foe? That's it in a nutshell.
Hey, Coach.
Just a second. And if the government is our friend, then we obey everything it says. If the government is not our foe, I mean, if the government is our foe, if the government is an enemy of the cross of Christ, we should be fighting it with everything we have. Not complying with it, not bowing to it, not obeying it. If it's the enemy of the cross, which is the message that the Flip Benhams and the whole list of guys been the message for 20 years and the church didn't want to hear anything about it. No controversy. Stay away from it. Government, friend, or foe? Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You can't be both. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Does Anthony Fauci have power over me? We'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you.